It's June the 8th. This is Meet the Movie Press. What are we going to be talking about? Halloween? What the fuck was that trailer? The Joker's getting a standalone movie because, of course, we need that. Willy Wonka, who gonna get the big role? And Al Pacino joins Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, my God, that's going to be such a great movie. And it's a three-way. Calm down. Coming up in just a second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Can we get the sound effect? No, it's not a fucking telegram.
That's
1923. Dot dot dash dash dash.
That was SOS.
I know. Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. To be honest with you. I'm not going to lie, SOS is actually quite apt.
Yeah.
Good morning, this is Meet the Movie Press. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. This is Simon Thompson. You can see my work kind of all over the place right now. Who the fuck are you?
Hi, I am Scott Menzel. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Other Scott M. Or if you want to read my written reviews and interviews, go to weliveentertainment.com.
And
I'm nobody.
Oh, Dimitri, come on!
I'm the player to be named later, but actually, my name is Dimitri Panos. I'm part of Anatomy of a Movie, also part of the Popcorn Talk Network, where we talk, review, and discuss movies at great length and depth. And I'm here. I'm back again. Thank you so much for having me back. This is such a fun, great show.
Dude, you're always a popular guest. You know you're always welcome.
I don't know.
You're always welcome.
Welcome is great. One person. Lots of pie. I have to give her credit. She sent, I have no idea who she is, but she sent nicest tweets that one can get and said, hey, have Dimitri on. She obviously doesn't watch the show. She listens to the show.
That's fine.
You know?
Dude, take the compliments where you can get them.
Trust me. I pay for many.
So we know that you do Anatomy of the Movie. Scott, where else can we find you within the giant bosom of the network?
So I have a show with Carla Renata on Sundays. Mm. It's called Black Tomatoes. It airs at 5 p.m. Check it out every Sunday at 5 p.m.
And if you miss it, you can catch it on iTunes and YouTube.
That's true.
The YouTube.
Black Hollywood Live.
Sweet. Let's not mess about. Let's talk about the Halloween trailer.
Oh, yes.
Okay, everybody's being literally Halloween-ing their pants in excitement for this trailer this week. Some people saw it at CinemaCon in Vegas recently.
Obviously, Dimitri, you were there.
I know. I didn't get invited. I was kind of offended by that.
It's an exhibitor distributor kind of thing.
Oh, I know.
Stop with you and all your screenings, Mister. I've seen this movie, this one. So, wham!
Can't do everything. So, I mean, how?
Okay. Well, you saw a 2-minute trailer. I saw a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, that's true. So, let's talk about the trailer. I mean, you, Dimitri, you are kind of the go-to guy. For the Halloween series,
just
right?
Just to show you...
So let's get your thoughts first of all.
I changed up my Star Wars for my Halloween thing today.
Awesome. Okay. Nice.
Number one, you have Jamie Lee Curtis introducing a trailer. That's one thing, right? So that was great.
Yeah.
But what I loved about the trailer is, the directors of this movie, they said that they were going to... Even though they're retconning everything...
Mm.
After, the original Halloween, they did say they were going to reference all the other movies. And I saw these little Easter egg nuggets in this trailer.
Okay.
And the trailer is, as Jamie Lee Curtis, and I quote her, it's hella scary.
Mm.
It's everything that I had hoped it would be. It met my expectations. It was scary. It's a scary trailer. Can't wait for this to come out on October 19th. Michael Myers, Jamie Lee Curtis, who... You know, didn't think they'd ever get her back again. And so it's just great to see how that character has developed in this universe or timeline that they've conjured up for us. So I do really love the references that they have. There's at least references from Halloween 2, Halloween 4, H2O.
Yeah.
Just like these little nods that I thought were fantastic.
Is that Busta Rhymes popping up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's available.
For what?
Just anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dangertainment.
Anything. Yeah. Dangertainment. Good God. That that's a phrase we never need to bring back, isn't it?
I am a Halloween fan.
So, Scott, what do you think? You watched it this morning on the drive over here.
Yes, yes. And I want to say that we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Blumhouse, my God, you know, when they want to save a baby, they can save the baby.
Yeah.
Because this trailer is all sorts of right.
Mm.
And, I mean, I grew up, I'm not a big a fan as you are.
You could be.
But I watched a lot of these movies. And, I mean, they've gotten worse and worse and worse as they went on.
But we still watch them.
But we still watch them. But this one gave me those chills of nostalgia.
Yeah.
But it also felt like it was progressing the story.
Mm.
And I agree with you. There were some great scares in that trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do. Jamie Lee Curtis looks badass, if I can say, in this. And I love the evolution of Michael Myers. And I love that it actually kind of shows like where he's been and what's going on. I'm really into it. I'm so into it.
And if I could geek out just for a second. So, number one, I don't know why they took so long to release this trailer. It's very similar, if not the same exact trailer.
So they can put it with Hereditary.
It's not with Hereditary.
It's not?
No, because, and I can explain the politics behind all this.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
In a second. So the politics behind this is because it's Blumhouse, they get mostly released through Universal Pictures.
Right.
Blumhouse's next picture is The Purge, which comes out in July.
Yep, July 4th.
I would have thought that they would have put Halloween on Hereditary.
Yes.
But they didn't. After watching Hereditary, I think Halloween would have been a better selection.
Mm.
But they can't cannibalize from one another. So what I can pretty much 99.9% guarantee is that Halloween will be attached to The Purge when that comes out on July 4th. Now,
that's right.
I don't know of any other horror movies between now...
Jurassic World, maybe?
It's rated R, so... you're right.
It's a big Universal movie. It's going to have the most eyeballs.
True.
You're right. Both of those movies are rated R.
Yeah.
And sometimes exhibitors will have a hard time placing R. Even if it's a hard PG-13, it's gotten a little bit lax, but I think the next time there's going to be a full way for Halloween will be that. So that's That's the inside studio aspect. I used to place trailers for Lionsgate and Universal, actually.
Yeah, interesting.
In any case, so we were talking about geeking out for a little bit.
Sure.
So the poster, the Michael Myers mask, so somebody actually just changed around with the shadowing and lighting of it. And what's really cool about the poster, if you look very, very closely to Michael Myers, I believe it's the left eye.
Mm.
It's sort of swollen shut. It's damaged. And it's from when the closet scene where she pokes him in the eye with a thing. So I'm like, so that's really cool. And in the trailer, there's a brief glimpse of her bare shoulder, Jamie Lee Curtis, Laurie Strode. And there's a scar from the knife wound that Michael gives her on the stairs. So it's like these little nods like to the original are really cool that they stayed within that.
Mm.
And then the nods to the other movies, I thought, were pretty fun, too. You know, for the Halloween fan to like, geek out. So.
Well, we got a lot of people that have watched it this morning. John Harrison in the chat saying the best parts were the insane asylum right at the very beginning and the end closet scene, which I love that end closet scene.
Me, too.
I really do. The thing is that there are so many good moments in that trailer. I'm just a little bit concerned that that might spoil the end movie. So I... having sort of knowing the Blumhouse stuff, they always have additional stuff in there.
Absolutely.
So I don't think these are the best moments, but they certainly are. If that's a taste of what we're going to get, dude, I'm fucking hungry.
Yeah, and the closet scene, too, is sort of kind of from Halloween 4, where Jamie Lloyd is in bed and the closet doesn't, like, shut and she goes up. But then again, one of my favorite scenes is the scene with the ghost sitting down at the chair. So that's complete reference to the, you know, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob the ghost. You know, get me some beers. Yeah. I'm just, like, loving that trailer. And it delivers the scares.
And Zeno Arrow is saying, loves the poster. Sky Patterson is saying, I just watched the trailer for the Halloween reboot from Universal Blumhouse. I loved it. It's the final chapter to a 40-year saga. Thank you, John Carpenter. I can't wait. I love horror. I'm a fan. Zeno Arrow again, dug the Halloween trailer. Wasn't blown away, which is fine. Not a bad thing with a trailer. I do like it when they save, you know, something for the big reveal. Still a little skeptical. The original Halloween is my favorite horror movie. I mean, yeah, that's a damn good movie. I mean, it's a great horror movie, but it's just a damn good movie.
It is, and it works on so many levels. Yeah. And that's when you know you have a great movie. It is mine too. It's my favorite horror movie, but for so many reasons. And with Halloween, the original, you can watch it as is. You don't have to dissect it. You don't have to look at it. It works as a horror movie, as a potboiler. But if you really want to drill down, so to speak, you can't analyze that movie from shot to shot, scene to scene. Why do we ignore evil? Evil's always around us, but people tend to ignore it. And the ones who don't ignore it are the ones who can survive at the end. Things like that. And the time in which the original Halloween came out, there's a lot that Halloween can bring to the discussion as far as movie making goes and horror films in general. So I think this movie too, like, you know, when you see Laurie Strode as that, you know, she would be considered in the neighborhood almost like a nut job. She's got the cellar. She's got the, like the safe house.
Yeah.
That's down. You know, but you understand that character. And, you know, one of the great lines of that trailer is like, why did you wait 40 years? Because I'm going to kill him. I knew he was going to come out.
Nick
Castle.
Spoiler alert, she doesn't.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the movie in the last 30 years.
And Nick Castle is back as the original Shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who went on to direct like the last
Starfighter. They just mentioned the theme song. When that kicks in that movie, it's so effective. So effective. Because they didn't open with it. You were like waiting for it and it hit at the perfect time.
Well, Mike Marchand in the chat has literally just said scariest theme song ever. Yeah. It is so unbelievably atmospheric.
Yeah.
Here's a good question actually for Dimitri on this one. Which is better, the original Halloween movie or the extended cut of the original Halloween movie?
Well, the extended cut, it's very interesting when you say that. The extended cut is just basically taking it's taking footage that was shot just as they were filming Halloween 2. The original Halloween was being put onto network TV at the time. There were edits. Halloween's a short movie. They had edited out so much that it wasn't going to fit in the 2-hour. Even with commercials, they couldn't fit it in. So they sort of forced Carpenter to film footage while they were filming Halloween 2 so that they can put into the thing. So a lot of it's filler. There are some good nuggets, but a lot of it's Loomis walking down a very long hallway.
Right.
Loomis, but they have a scene where Loomis walks into Michael Myers' room.
Yeah.
And Michael Myers is just staring out to nothing. And he has this great line where he says, "You fooled them all, haven't you, Michael?" It's like, "You haven't fooled me." You know, and so there's this thing, and then they show Loomis going up against the board, but they're very stretched out scenes.
Sure.
There's a scene where Annie.
So there's a reason why they were cut.
It was never meant to be in there.
Right.
So to say an extended cut, just as a geek, when I had the laser disc for Halloween, the Criterion version was fantastic because you could program those scenes to be put into the movie. And they had a wonderful Siskel and Ebert who did a glowing review of the movie. And they actually had that segment on that Criterion Laserdisc.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. So if you have the Blu-ray, there's a wonderful box set that comes out that includes the 35th anniversary of Halloween that has not only archived archive commentary by Carpenter, Deborah Hill, the late Deborah Hill, and Jamie Lee Curtis, which is fantastic, but it has new commentary as well. So I would go with the original Halloween. I don't mind those shots inserted into the movie. It just makes it longer. It stretches it out. Doesn't add much, except I do really like that scene where Loomis confronts Michael, like the little 16-year-old Michael, the little boy Michael in the hospital. Because it's just a cool thing.
Couple more comments in the chat. This is from Harry. I don't know. I feel that Halloween, it looks cheap in an FX TV show kind of way, but it is Blumhouse. Blumhouse do this stuff on a budget. And to be honest with you, I actually enjoy horror movies that look a little bit more natural. I think it actually adds to the feel, you know, because obviously it's supernatural stuff, but it cements it in more in reality than looking super big bucks. That's just my personal taste. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Harry again says, could be an episode of American Horror Story. Again, in my mind, not a bad thing. Don Draper saying, I remember, it's to do with Anthony Bourdain, so we won't mention that. Yeah, a lot of other stuff in the trailer. Again, Harry's saying, I can see in the trailer trying to seep some scope into the trailer, especially with the asylum, which is simple and effective staging, but the young cast look annoying.
I didn't get that feel from the trailer. What I loved about that young cast is they're making Michael Myers this legend,
yeah,
this urban legend. So they even mention, I had heard that. Wait, wasn't it his brother? Wasn't it her brother that tried to kill him? Oh yeah, no, that's not true at all. And that actually is just a point flat out reference to Halloween 2, where the whole brother family thing came into play.
Yeah.
So, it's a nice reference where they say no, that's not true. That was fake.
Yeah.
So you could sense that there is an urban legend around Michael Myers, and that's still, even though he's been incarcerated, it appears. Without having seen the movie, only going by the trailer, it just seems that there has been a lore that either kids, teenagers, history has just stacked up on him.
Sure.
Where many of it's not true, with the exception of maybe Laurie Strode.
And we're going to strip that right back with this one. So, okay, we're going to move on for that because we have so much to talk about this week. Let's talk about Jared Leto. Coming back as the Joker getting the standalone movie confirmed by Warner Brothers
this
week.
Am I the only one who was really upset by this
news? You were genuinely upset by this news this week.
I am very upset by this news because I feel like everyone hated that character in Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad, I am one of the rare people who actually liked the Zack Snyder movies.
Interesting.
I liked Man of Steel. I liked Batman vs. Superman. I liked Justice League.
Yep.
But Suicide Squad did not get that pass for me. That movie was just a train wreck.
It was.
And if anything was a train wreck in that movie, I feel like, aside from it being a freaking fucking music video, was his portrayal.
Horribly cast.
It was horribly cast. But my God, Jared Leto in that role is just atrocious. There's no other way to describe it. It's like a white trash version of the Joker. And I can't believe, after all this controversy with him, with, oh, my scenes were cut, blah, 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 let's go in the movie. Why? Why?
You see, I agree with you on some points and I disagree on other. Actually, for me, Jared Leto's Joker was one of the saving graces of that movie. Mm. And I wanted more of him in that. And as far as Zach, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, it's not exactly a high bar that you want to, that is set by that movie. But I mean, there are so many shitty characters, horribly cast. I was like, well, it's kind of the best of a, pardon the pun, but a bad bunch. And I was just like, if I'd rather see any more of, you know, it would be him and Harley Quinn.
Where's the Viola Davis standalone movie from that?
Oh, my God. She seriously had the biggest balls in that movie.
Yes, I know.
And she deserved so much more room. But, I mean, as far as Zack Snyder movies go, I mean, for me, my favorite movie, I mean, I love Man of Steel. I was one of the few people that I think did. I saw that numerous times in the movie theaters. And Dawn of the Dead. To me, I mean, I hold his version of Dawn of the Dead up there with the original. I love that movie. I love the original.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. But I seriously, it's up there. I think what he did with that was so great. I've watched that movie so many times over the years. But yeah, I mean, I'm open to him coming back as the Joker. Yeah. They should have just given him more room. I think he was completely undersold in that movie. And I do believe with the whole my scenes were cut, if they'd have given him a bit more room in that movie, and that's how they sold it originally.
Yes,
they
sold it
very much as a hard R. It's the Joker movie with the Suicide Squad taking on the Joker. And then by the time we got to the release, it was more like a fucking Hello Kitty. And I was just like, what the fuck is this movie? Seriously, the design of the promotion stuff completely changed. Yeah. It was like they were promoting a completely different movie. No. So I think it was dealt a bit of a hard hand, and I genuinely would like to see more of Jared Leto.
For me, it's not so much him, because I think as an actor, I've always appreciated his work. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very much into his roles, and he goes into this weird territory whenever he tackles a role.
Yeah.
I'm completely fine with that. I'm baffled by the fact that there was so much negative energy around this, like, them fighting back and forth. Like, no, this was cut. This wasn't. You know, I want more time. Fuck this movie. Whatever it is. And then to turn around and say, hey, you get another chance, buddy. It's like, okay, there was someone told me this joke.
Getting another chance.
Someone told me, someone told me this funny joke, and I can't tell you who it was. Okay. But, you know, Ava did Wrinkle in Time, and it was very lukewarm response. People really didn't like it.
Yeah.
And what happened was, a week later, like, hey, you want to do a movie? It's like you get rewarded in Hollywood for being a pain in the ass and, like, not living up to the expectations. It's very strange to me.
Well, it lived up
to the expectations. Although Lukewarm does deny that story.
Yeah. What?
Lukewarm does deny that story.
Yeah. You know, it's Suicide Squad made money.
Yes,
right? It did.
Regardless of whether it's a piece of garbage.
Dude, you don't have to make a good movie to make money.
No.
And I get that. And again, who the hell am I? But if I am at DC and I'm at Warner DC and their president, DC president of Warner Pictures just exited, I'd be like, jettison it all. Mm. Like, just jettison it all. I mean, it's about superheroes. You can't keep going back to your what's popular and whatnot. And don't keep screwing up what's popular. I've got nothing against Zack Snyder. He's just put in an unenviable position because the guy wants to work. I think as a storyteller visually, listen, 300. Watchmen, I really, really appreciate Watchmen as a movie. And I thought that was a lose-lose for him to even tackle. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
So, but from a visual storytelling standpoint, and if you ever watch the extended version, the extended version of Watchmen is actually really good. So, and in what he's done with this DC universe, like, I don't begrudge him. He just seems to be DC's, like, well, this is what we want. And he goes, okay. And he goes out and he's, when you watch publicity, he's like the spokesperson.
Yeah.
So all the hate goes towards him, but it doesn't go to the people who are making these creative choices. That's who the hate should be going to.
Right.
Yeah.
Not Zack Snyder. He wants to work. He just wants, hey, I'm proud 100%. To be part of this. But I've said this many times before. You guys need to, like, take a deep breath and count back from 10. There's no shame in taking a page out of the Marvel playbook and say, okay, we want to build up to this and then we'll do Justice League. But they're doing everything. They're reverse engineering everything. Mm. And it's not working.
Well, I also have to comment on that. Isn't something that we hear very often about over there, and I hate to say it because I really do love Warner Brothers.
Same here.
The thing is, I've heard from numerous things that they want their hand in the movie making process, and they think they know what's best. And I feel like if you really believe in a director or a filmmaker or a writer, you should be able to give them free rein and say, like, you know what, go ahead, make the movie you want to make. If it doesn't, doesn't pick up on the box office receipts, guess what? You don't get another chance.
Right.
And that's it. Like, you know, just, you know, effects, you know, that cause and effect. That's it. So if it doesn't work, you tried, you got to make your movie. What's the point of not letting them do that? Because obviously the formula is not working right now.
Yeah.
With their hand and everything.
It's a bad
patchwork. But they know it's not working. Right. Right. All the execs, I mean, friends of mine who work there, they know it's not working.
But starting with a Joker movie, though,
I think it's a good place to start. I think it's a shrewd move.
I don't either, because what happens is you're building off something that was already not well received. Like, you know, doing the Wonder Woman movie everyone loves, right?
Yeah.
So the next one, like, everyone's already talking about it. That's, like, the only movie so far in this, like, franchise where, like, everything's positive about it. Like,
but think about it, though. Yeah. Think about Wonder Woman. It's the best Marvel movie that DC has made. Like, that's what it is.
It is, but I mean,
it's really thought out.
But the biggest problem that Warner Brothers have is the fact that they don't actually have really good villains. I mean, Marvel, they've got like a 60-40 kind of percent hit rate with their villains.
Sure.
And I think the thing that Warner Brothers really lacks, certainly for their DC universe, is the fact that they have a really strong villain. And I think if they can create a Joker that, pardon the pun, leads the pack,
Yeah.
I think actually they might be onto something. They've got a really strong Wonder Woman. They've got a if they have a really strong baddie, I think they've got kind of something there to kind of build the framework of a new universe on. So I'm kind of, let's look at what people are saying in the chat. Xeno Arrow is saying, in fairness, Warner Brothers hasn't made it official. That is true.
Yeah.
But it's happening. You know,
it's
happening.
Unless it's Dark Universe.
It is still in early development, as Xeno says. But you know, Xeno says doesn't think it'll happen. This is going to happen. Harry says just read all by unconfirmed rumor that the villains in this sequel are being retconned to be more like the comics. Leto losing the tats. Killer Croc. Wouldn't be surprised if Killer Croc doesn't come back. As far
he
as
was
the tats.
Wasted. Oh my god, it was
yeah,
wasted.
Totally. So many characters in that movie were wasted. Again, Senor Nerd saying Warner's didn't confirm. Yeah, we just covered that. Don Draper saying, feel like DC has to tread water until Aquaman. Yeah, I know people who've seen a lot of the Aquaman footage.
Too, and I heard it's really good.
Very good. Yes. Very strong. So I think that's going to be a
James
major...
Wan, of course.
Yeah, a major feather in their cap. Harry again saying, Jared Leto, Harley Quinn were the best part of that movie, Suicide Squad. But that editing and the direction was terrible and did them dirty. I 100% agree with that. Will Smith seemed to be going to get his paws all over this and made it a lame Deadshot film. Deadshot was another character.
He would have been better served just going back to Independence Day.
Horribly misserved.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of people saying Man of Steel, you know, sort of, you know, great movie. Some people saying Man of Steel, but
people, yeah,
shit.
That is probably the most, like, down the line people are on each side for that movie.
And
yeah.
I'm actually sort of in the middle.
Me too.
Because there's only one scene in Man of Steel that really irked me. Mm. I mean, it takes a lot to make me angry. The way that movie approached the death of Pa Kent, like, literally makes no sense whatsoever. Like, literally no sense. I do not believe that Ma Kent, this loving relationship who knows that her son can save him at blistering, invisible-like speed, wouldn't say, no, Clark, don't listen to him.
Yeah.
You go, we'll deal with the ramifications after you save your father. The whole thing about Pa Kent dying is that Clark Kent, with all his powers, couldn't save him from a heart attack.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole irony of it all. As powerful as Superman is, there are certain things you just can't do.
911, motherfucker.
They didn't have it back then in Kansas City, but that's the biggest problem. So when Pa Kent, Kevin Costner was like, no, just let me die, you can't do it, because Ma Kent would have said, son, you go and do that, because you can. That sort of like, that rubbed me the wrong way, because it just doesn't make sense for a Superman character. It's not what brings Superman, shows him humanity.
BlackRock316 saying in the chat, DC just needs to make better movies. I agree. They have some of the best characters in the world of comics.
Absolutely.
And they just appear to be consistently fumbling the ball.
Do you not agree? No, I do.
Oh, okay.
I think my thing is with this is that all I would say is my suggestion would just be slow down.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Because
it's fair.
I think these movies, you know, they have... I think... The DC movies are actually interesting, and I'm going to say this, and I know this is probably controversial to say this. I think it's good when there's not universal praise for something, that it divides audiences.
Yep.
And I think what the problem is with this franchise, as someone who does enjoy most of the films, is that what we've just all been talking about, it just feels rushed. It feels like it's playing catch-up.
Yep.
They need to stop looking at Marvel, is what I feel like, and they need to say, like, let's try to do something, let's mix it up, and let's do something that works for us. And that's what the problem was with most people had with Justice League, is that they introduced all these characters, they gave them about 15 to 20 minutes of backstory, but we didn't really know anything about them. And they were great. I mean, if anyone wants to criticize anything about Justice League, they can criticize how well those actors, how much those actors committed to the movie.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they really brought their A game.
Yeah.
They just didn't get enough.
Yeah, that's to an fair. Extent. Yeah, it's again with DC. Growing up, I was way more reading comic books.
Me
I was
too.
A DC person.
Yeah,
you know, reading Batman and Superman. And it was later on in years where I started reading Green Lantern in earnest, and there were some of the best science fiction, like true science fiction stories, ever to be brought onto a page, and they were fantastic. And it's you have a wealth of of wealth of material to mine from, maybe, just maybe, you should start mining from that material. Don't go, if you're not going to take a page from the Marvel book, then take a page from your own books.
Right.
There are some great, great stories had.
Well, something that Sky Patterson's saying in the chat, we're going to move on from this in just a sec because we have so much to cover today, is that honestly, at this point, Warner Brothers has given up on trying to compete with Disney Marvel. That's why they're just doing different things. I agree, but they don't have to compete.
No, they don't.
Because, to be honest with you, people outside of the film universe and the Twitter film universe, they don't give a fuck. If they want to go and see a superhero movie, they don't give a shit whether it's Marvel or DC. Most people don't. Most normal people don't know that Batman's DC. Oh, they don't give a shit.
You're right. I mean,
they're going to go and see a superhero movie.
The film lovers feel that way, but there is also that loyal DC Marvel fan.
There is.
Because I'll tell you, whenever I write something that's not so positive about Marvel movie, you know, there's always the attacks. If I say something great about a DC movie, there's always the attacks. I mean, it's amazing.
But also,
I've said positive things about Marvel movies, and I've gotten attacked.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, positive.
Whenever I say anything positive about a Marvel movie or like a Disney movie, it's like Disney paid you. Yeah, I'm like, seriously, if I got paid for every single time I said a positive thing about a Disney movie, I'd be the richest motherfucker in Los Angeles. And I'm not getting shit. Yeah. Right? So it's like, sorry, that does not happen. But do you know what? I mean, DC realize they have to make better movies.
Right.
Warner realize they have to make better DC movies. And they're working towards that. And do you know what? I'd be the happiest guy in the queue to see that movie if they up their game. And they can do it because they proved it with Wonder Woman.
They can. But here's the other thing. Why does everyone always forget at how great they were in the past?
Yeah.
They have the Tim 100%. Burton Batman movies, those first two, were amazing.
And that wasn't a long time ago.
No, it wasn't. And then they had the Nolan franchise. So like,
oh, and then you're also like the Richard Donner Superman.
Right, of course. Which, like, you know, go back. They have a stronger history.
They really do.
They can do it. And do you know what? They will do it again. And they're going to, you know, knock our socks off. And we're going to have an amazing time watching these movies.
Yeah.
But sometimes, do you know what? They drop the ball. And do you know what? Sometimes Disney drop the ball.
Yeah.
And sometimes Marvel drop the ball. I mean, you see the list of, like, you know, Marvel movies ranked from one to gazillion. And it's like, those motherfuckers are at the back.
Yeah.
You know, they're on. Not everybody's number one. Yeah. Sometimes there are movies that are not great. So everybody drops the ball sometimes.
And everybody looks back, like, the Chris Nolan trilogy. Mm. Like, again, that's hard. It's hard to follow that up. But they weren't left without any humor. I'm not saying it's laugh riotous, right? But there were humorous lines of dialogue here and there. But they took the character seriously, and they had a trilogy that had a narrative string throughout. When you look at the Richard Donner Superman, many people say, "Oh, it's too comic booky." No, that's Superman. Like, he still takes the character seriously.
Right.
He still can fall in love with Lois Lane. Now, when you talk, going back to this extended scenes, if you can ever get to see the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, that I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And it is better than I believe it was Richard Lester who ended up taking over the reins for that, because that's an amazing history too. But when you watch Christopher Reeve and you see the casting of Margot Kidder, you go, yeah. That's why there's casting. They click. It's great. And Superman wants to give up his powers to become human so he can fall in love. And they had great storylines in that, too. And, of course, Gene Hackman.
Absolutely.
Right.
A couple of comments to mention before we move on from this. This is from Harry in the chat. I think yesterday on the Popcorn Talk for DC Movie News, which is on the Popcorn Talk Network, if you haven't watched that show, you should check it out, even if you're not a DC fan. It's actually a really good show. They do really some superb stuff on there. Great hosts. It was confirmed that Todd Stashwick is going to be writing Suicide Squad 2 for Gavin O'Connor. That was actually an exclusive for DC Movie News this week, so congrats to them for getting that. Sky Patterson, I would have DC Films president team up with Guillermo del Toro and James Wan and develop quality films, but it'll never happen. Do you know what? That's a great idea, and it should happen.
But I love Guillermo.
Yeah.
Guillermo has had some misfires, too.
God, he's had more than his fair share of misfires. So he's done some films that are really not up to scratch.
Yes, he made some amazing films.
As a director and a producer.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
100%.
No one's flawless as a filmmaker. Why are we so critical about this?
I mean,
ridiculous.
God, Coppola made fucking Jack.
Yeah.
So, and also Mike
You're
Marchant.
You're going to have a stinker every now and then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. It happens to everybody. Mike Marchant saying, when are we getting a Meteor Man reboot? Do you know what, Mike? I'm on board with that.
Tomorrow.
Seriously. Okay, let's move on to Willy.
Don't give him ideas.
No, seriously. Okay, let's talk on to Willy Wonka. Three big names came into the hat. Didn't come into a hat. I mean, that would be a really weird way.
That's not a family film
anymore. Of winning a role. It's like, who can come in a hat?
That's the next Judd Apatow movie.
I know.
That's a golden
Adam Sandler's coming in a hat. So we got Donald Glover, Ryan Gosling, and Ezra Miller are the three names that are out running at the moment.
Very weird choices, every one of them.
Weird, but interesting. Yeah. One name I'm surprised not to see in there is Dean DeHaan.
No, he can't sell a movie.
He cannot sell a movie, but do you know what? This movie sells itself.
It could.
I think this movie sells itself because of what it is and the heritage that it has.
But I think after, and I love Valerian, but after that,
The guy.
I am. I also love Cure for Wellness. I also love Cure for Wellness.
Dude, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I love both of them.
So that's you and Dee.
That is me and Dee. Yeah. So I'm all for that, but yeah. I just don't think he can sell the movie.
But he looks the part, though. I mean, he's...
Could you imagine Ryan Gosling, though, in this movie? No.
I actually
could.
He's too pretty.
Yeah,
no.
I actually could.
I mean, he'll get buns on seats.
I'm not a La La Land fan at all. But I mean, if I don't know which way they're going with the movie, whether they're going to go musical or not, but I think he could. I think between that list, for me, it would be between him and Glover. For me,
I would like to see Donald Glover out of these three. Ezra Miller would look the part, but I think if he played Willy Wonka, it would be so close in quirkiness to what he's played previously.
It would be his third time in a WB movie because he's in the Harry Potter, the new one, Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
And now he's in The Flash. He's still rumored to be that. And then that would be three. So.
But I would love to see Donald Glover. But then are we going to have the thing, you can't have a Black Wonka?
No.
I'm like,
you will, of course.
Yeah, I mean, of course you will.
But I don't know.
He would nail it.
Did people really hate the Johnny Depp one that much? I feel like it made like a ton of money.
I don't hate that movie.
I won't say it's great, but who cares? Not every movie's great, but I didn't hate it at all.
No.
It had that darkness and that Tim Burton-esque.
Because it also I remember with the dark tone of the
with
book.
The book. Absolutely. Yeah.
Zeno Arrow saying their pick is Donald Glover.
Yeah,
again, Harry saying Glover is my choice. Mike Marchant saying Neil Patrick Harris.
No, he ruined that freaking
Lemony
Snickets.
Should be on that shortlist.
No, he ruined Lemony Snickets. No.
I still have a vote.
Harry again saying Ryan Gosling looks the most like Gene Wilder. But again, he does. But I don't think this is about I think actually it would be a mistake to try and replicate what Gene Wilder did.
100%.
Do something different.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller taps into the Johnny Depp aloofness, and Donald Glover is an enigmatic ethereal. This is America type Wonka. I just think, do you know what? I think out of this list, Donald Glover is definitely my favorite.
Cast all three of them in the role, and then in different stages of the movie, just switch them out.
And then all three acts.
Yeah, make it really unique. Yeah, yeah. Like, this is the dark side of Wonka. This is the happy side of Wonka.
Fishman Dildo.
Make them crazy.
Fishman Dildo saying Nicolas Cage would make a great Willy Wonka.
Oh, yeah. And the Scream,
that,
too.
Do you know what? I would love... Yes. He's available.
Yeah, he is available.
He's available. Nick will do literally
anything. And the budget would be low.
Sure.
The budget
that
would
is
be
true.
Low.
What are you doing it for? I don't know. Pack of cigs and my Ralph shopping.
Blumhouse, jump on this, Blumhouse.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Blumhouse Wonka. Oh, my God. I would love that. Okay, so pitch to Jason
Wonka sequel. Great.
What I assume at Sundance this year, I'll say, hey,
yeah,
got
sweet.
A good idea for you, buddy.
Do you want a Wonka?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's a really good idea. But no, out of that list, I think Donald Glover is the one that excites me and certainly would get me the most interested in the movie. And I think, again, you could really play with the sort of the original storyline and the original sort of origins of that movie. I think they have to do something different. I know there'll be people again like, you can't mess with what you've got. But I think they really have to do something different with it. Not do what we've seen with the Gene Wilder, not what we've seen with the Johnny Depp. And I think you have to do something very, very different.
Yeah, it's so hard.
And I think he'd be the one that would really separate that.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this. The few times I've been on the show, we've talked about the troubles you get into when you remake a classic.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard because the classic lives on, whether it's on TCM mm-hmm. or whether it's on, you know, home entertainment.
Yeah.
Right. So that's fully ingrained in not just the country, but the world. Mm. Okay. It's just like, why would Spielberg want to tamper with West Side Story? Like, it just doesn't, you just, why?
Yeah.
So if you're going to go back to this well to do Willy Wonka, you do have to make a stamp. And how do you do it? Do you try to do like Alice in Wonderland kind of a thing? You do have to make it your own. You have to separate yourself. If you're going to be a musical, don't make it trite.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. And you have, because you have such a high standard that people, it's already so well beloved that people are going to go in with daggers if you kill it. And I think that's part of what happened with Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Is everybody was, they weren't expecting the darkness.
Yeah.
But yet Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, the first, it was a really good movie. You know, it's a lot of fun. So it's tough. A
couple of comments in the chat. Yeah. As Zeno Hour says, what about The Rock as Willy Wonka? Do you know what? I would buy that if Kevin Hart can be one of the Oompa Loompas. I'm on board with that shit.
Okay.
Also, Zeno Hour saying, once Cage as Wonka, Don Draper, and saying it's hard to get it out of your head once you hear it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that would be so good. Virgil Hawkins, or someone claiming to be Virgil Hawkins in the chat, saying Chris Tucker as Wonka. I think Virgil is Chris Tucker. Harry saying Christopher Lee was a great father to Depp, and him being a dentist makes sense. Tim Burton's remake doesn't get enough love. Young Freddie Highmore is also great. Really good point, actually.
Yes,
Freddie
was
in the Tim Burton version.
Yeah. I love the music in that. I mean, I thought the music was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, bless Mike, saying Nicolas Cage as Willy Wonka and John Travolta as Charlie in Willy Wonka Face Off. Do you know what? That's kind of a stupid idea, but I would still pay to see that. Yeah. John Woo's Wonka. I would watch that.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a lot of other stuff to carry on, and we've got like 15 minutes left on the show, so let's rattle for you a few things. This is something that broke on the show while the show was on last week. Brett Ratner still wanting to direct Rush Hour 4. Studio saying, no.
Okay.
I mean, does anybody want Rush Hour 4? I mean, I enjoyed the Rush Hour movies.
Yes, two people want it.
But I mean, Brett
Chris
Ratner
Tucker
and Chris Tucker. Yeah.
No, Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
I would rather have another Shanghai movie. I like those.
Me too!
Yeah.
Me too.
I really like those.
That series, I mean, two films kind of makes a series. But I don't... that really could do with a revisit.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson's available.
I know he is.
Yeah. So, you know, that'd be quite
cool.
That
would be a fun movie.
But, I just don't think... I mean, this whole Rush Hour 4 thing, everybody, whenever they interview Jackie Chan, they always talk about it, he's like, I'm open for it. Nobody's going to make this movie. And I know Brett and Chris, they hang out together. I mean, I did a junket for a film, what was it? Ben-Hur last year. And they were in the same hotel at the same time. And they literally walked into one of the interviews to chat to somebody in the middle of an interview. And then, again, I was like, okay, they're obviously talking about Rush Hour 4 because what the fuck else are they going to do? But I'm just like, I don't think anybody, the audiences have kind of moved on from the Rush Hour series. And it's not one that's handed down from generation to generation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea. I mean, I would understand it only because we got to milk everything for what we've got. But you can get a different director in.
Milk,
I mean, they're doing
cow.
It for Bad Boys.
But
right?
I just don't think anybody can. I mean, Bad Boys, I think, is slightly different to Rush Hour. It just has kind of more of a cachet, and I think that's a franchise that has been handed down to generation after generation. Not like a Star Wars or whatever, but it's like, you know, fathers watched it and then their kids watch it. And I just don't think that Rush Hour... I mean, Lethal Weapon's another really good example of a franchise that was handed down.
Right.
But I just don't think Rush Hour has that.
Yeah.
It's more disposable.
You know,
It's like, it, I mean, it was a great buddy comedy at the time. And I mean, the diversity element of it may work today. You know, it's kind of relevant to all the conversations that's been going on lately.
And I hate to say, because I don't want to give anybody ideas, but, you know, you could
reboot it with women.
Women.
Not because women deserve better. I'm going to go on this freaking rant right now. Yes. Women deserve better than what they're getting with these fucking reboots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They deserve so much more than what they're getting.
We are going to get to that soon. A couple of other things to rattle through. Cannonball Run remake is going to have Doug Liman directing that. I have not seen Cannonball Run for so many years, but I literally spoke to Doug this week. There's going to be a piece going up on Forbes over the weekend, actually, about a TV show he did a pilot for called Impulse. So that's going to be quite interesting. Cannonball Run
if
remake?
If he could get Tom Cruise to appear in it as Roger Moore appeared in Cannonball Run 2, where he was mocking himself. Look,
can Tom just run?
He can just run. He doesn't even need a car.
He just runs.
Here's the thing. Cannonball Run was made at a time. It was just made for fun. Hal Needham with Burt Reynolds. Yeah. They both came from that stunt person background. Burt Reynolds, it was just easy for him to get his friends on board. Dom DeLuise.
I'm just going to say no. I think it's a bad idea.
I think it's a bad idea.
I'm not entirely. I just don't know. That was a different time where you were able to get what the charm of Cannonball Run is, not necessarily the story, but the cast. And seeing Adrian Barbeau, seeing Jackie Chan for the first time in American cinema, right? And just seeing. Like Jamie Farr, like these are all people who are popular, whether it be television at the time or movies. And it was fueled by Burt Reynolds, who was able to get his buddies into a movie. And Burt Reynolds was big at the time. You don't watch Cannonball Run, like I said, for the story. You watch it for the zany craziness and the car chases.
Yeah.
I mean, Mel Tillis, who's got, you know, it was. It's a funny movie. I don't know if you can recapture that.
That's
today.
What I'm saying. I don't think it can be updated.
Yeah.
It's fitting for the time.
Yeah, it's fitting for the time. It's a tough movie to do. There was a movie called The Gumball Rally that tried to be like this Cannonball Runish too. It's just not as good. Doug Liman's a really good director. Yes. He might be able to pull strings to get people into this. But again, comedy today is tough. So are they going to make it a comedy or do they make it an action movie, like a race film? It's in zany comedy is even harder today because people don't put in the time to watch a joke pan out, a physical joke in any case. Right. So it's tough. I'm not against it. It's just tough. It's tough to do.
A couple of other things to get in. We have about 10 minutes left on the show. Damian Lewis, Luke Perry, and Dakota Fanning joined Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Also, Al Pacino. It was revealed to say, "Oh my God, I gotta work with Tarantino." That's a shit Al Pacino impression. I was interested in this movie.
I still I've want been, Jack and Jill too.
I Al really Pacino. This you and Adam Sandler.
No, I'm just kidding. I hate them. But that was hilarious watching him destroy
it,
his.
It wasn't.
Stuff
no,
Pacino.
It wasn't.
God.
It was demeaning.
It was so horrible that it was great.
I agree. It was a car wreck that you just couldn't.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm. What's
the
he
fact
do?
That they did the commercial at the end? I was like, oh my God.
I am just, when I saw this, I was like, oh my God, thank God Al Pacino is making what could potentially be a half-decent fucking movie for the first time in, God, almost 10 years?
No.
I mean, he's one of the actors that is seriously one of the most talented people in Hollywood, and he has not done anything of much worth at all for the longest time. I was on board with this movie anyway, but when I heard that Al Pacino was going to be in it, I'm like, oh my God, I put a bed outside the ArcLight in Hollywood. I'm just waiting for box office to open on this movie. That is just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also Damian Lewis, Luke Perry. Luke Perry, 90210. Bam, 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 bam.
He's also on Riverdale.
Is he?
Yeah.
I've never seen Riverdale.
My wife watches it.
Ah, okay.
My wife watches.
Yeah, I think my wife would rather do anything other than watch Riverdale, to be honest with you. Yeah, so also Legally Blonde 3. I know you guys are big Legally Blonde.
I am very, very excited for
this. Well, see, but this is going back to our sequel, like, conversation. When was the last Legally Blonde? And the last Legally Blonde, if from
Red,
what I can recall,
blue,
was not
that. It was not good, and there was good. The terrible direct-to-DVD spin-off. But do you know why I'm happy about Legally Blonde 3?
Why?
So that when I'm on red carpets now, I can stop asking Reese Witherspoon, when are you going to make Legally Blonde 3? I've been doing that shit for like 10 fucking years.
So we have you to blame.
So it's kind of my... I basically wore her down. Toy Story 4 and Pixar apparently threw out 3/4 of the script. I mean, it was kind of a story this week, but it's not unusual for... movies that are, especially when you've got a really strong trilogy and you wanted to add an extra film to that, you want to make sure that that's not the little tear that you snip off at the end. You want to make sure it's a good movie.
And you don't want to do a Cars 2.
Yeah, exactly. No. I mean, you know what that leads to? Cars 3.
But I liked Cars 3.
I did too.
Yeah, Cars 3 is better than that. But it's, you know,
I liked Cars 3.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when you're talking about Toy Story, I'm okay with them jettisoning... however much they could start from scratch.
Yeah.
I just, at this point in time, you sort of kind of get the feeling that Pixar is going to treat their characters with a lot of TLC.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that if it ends up being the last feature, we'll do it right. I even think their television specials that they've had on TV have been really good, too. So, you know,
Toy Story has been the franchise that can. I mean, seriously, that franchise only gets better as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing.
Well, when Toy Story was released, it was kind of like, yeah, we're going to put this out, but it was very much like we're putting out an animated movie. And it was like, okay, it's groundbreaking. But they didn't think that it was going to be... what it became. They had no idea that this movie was going to be a franchise at all, and one of the most beloved animated movies of all time.
I don't know if you guys all feel this way, but I for me, Pixar will never top this franchise. I feel like every movie that I watch, and like they have some great films, but none of them are as good as the Toy Story franchise.
No, I mean, for me, I mean, the Finding Nemo series, and again, we'll talk about this next week, can't go into it too deeply, but, you know, I tweeted about it this week, Incredibles 2. Incredibles, I think, is really becoming a very strong series for Disney Pixar. But no, I completely agree. I mean, I think Toy Story is still streets ahead of anything else that they've done.
And again, their sequels have gotten better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they don't diminish the previous film.
Oh, yeah.
So as a franchise, yes. But what they've given us in movies like WALL-E and given us Up, Coco, you know, these are movies that I hope do not become franchises because they're standalone. They're A-grade, 4-star standalone movies that Pixar is able to do really well because they take their time in writing them. So when you have a Toy Story, if you're going to go into 4, take the time to make it right. We know that these movies take a long time to do anyways.
Yeah.
Just get it right and make sure that the emotional beats, and that's the thing that Pixar seems to always get 99% of the time, they get right. Hit the emotional beats correct, and you'll have young and old laughing and crying.
And now, Sky is saying that Toy Story 4 is the final film in the franchise. Sky is correct, but they also said that about Toy Story 3.
That's true.
Sky is very much looking forward to the film. I think pretty much everybody is, and whoever isn't is kind of dead inside. Yeah. I would thoroughly... I mean, this is meant to be the final film in the franchise, but I think if it makes enough money, which it undoubtedly will. There'll be more Toy Story movies. Okay, we've got a lot to get through in the next 5 minutes. Let's talk about some trailers that came out this week. A Star is Born. You guys saw that trailer, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is like Oscars by the ass load.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, that is like best direction,
it's
be best
TIFF,
actor,
it's
best actress.
Be TIFF, Toronto and yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. They showed that at CinemaCon as well.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the trailers that surprised
everyone,
the audience, like exhibitors, the most.
A lot of people are surprised by that movie.
And in how it looked, how it carries off,
yeah,
and Bradley Cooper. And, you know, the thing about it is, this is Bradley Cooper.
Mm.
So success
good
or
Bradley
failure,
Cooper.
But success or failure, like, it's all on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And I would only recommend, you know, Bradley, let's take your name off a couple. Like, it's everything about this is Bradley Cooper present, Bradley Cooper directs, Bradley Cooper sings. Mm. It's, you know, you're setting yourself up. But look, if you make a great movie and get Academy Awards, that's wonderful. But if the entire whole isn't what the trailer is, hey.
I know people who've seen the movie and they're very confident about it. Yeah. Very confident about it. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We're going to rattle through a few of these trailers that came out this week. Did you guys see that? What did you think? I'm okay. Yeah. I know a lot of people kind of were very excited about that. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of interested, but not overexcited. Girl in the Spider's Web dropped yesterday.
Interesting casting choice.
Really good. Claire Foy. I was not convinced by that, but watching that, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me want to read the book now. I hadn't
what,
read that book.
What book? What is book? What is book?
I think that's a little too late, though, now. Book? I feel like that franchise is like kind of dead.
Yeah.
It feels a little too late. I don't know.
I mean, we'll see.
It was too bad that they never, again, I'm a fan of the Millennium series. And I like the Swedish version. And I really I loved what David Fincher brought to the table.
I enjoyed that movie. Yeah.
And I would have liked to see the remaining two movies of that series done with
Daniel Craig.
Not going to happen. I know. And I don't understand why Sony would, like, screw over James Bond. Like that, like, just pay the man, for crying out loud. He makes you billions of dollars. But I really like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo Fincher version as well.
The Lego movie, the second part, that broke early this week. It looks fun. I'm not oversold by it.
No.
Bumblebee.
Surprised.
Very surprised. Very surprised by that.
Yeah, very surprised.
Again, that was another thing that they, like, at CinemaCon they showed, and you watch it. Hailee Steinfeld, fantastic. I think she's a great cast. And it was just one of those trailers that you watched and go, okay, this could work. This may not, you know, and again, it's produced by Michael Bay, I believe, right?
So. Yep. Directed by Travis Knight, who's from Leica.
Yeah, it could work. I think it could work.
I was done with Transformers. They've dragged me back in. Suspiria this week. Did you see that trailer?
Yeah.
Shit my pants.
Nah.
Ralph, I didn't actually shit my pants. Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Here's my one thing. What's his name? What's the character's name?
Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Right. So why doesn't he wreck the internet?
There's a joke about it at the end.
But, he's watching porn.
But it should be. He doesn't break the porn. Internet. He wrecks the
I'm
internet.
I'm sick of the phrase breaking the internet. I posted a video. I broke the internet. No, didn't. People watched your video. Fuck off.
And the first Wreck-It Ralph was a pleasant surprise to me. I really enjoyed that movie. We'll see.
This is something that we both mentioned when we came in. We all mentioned it. Battle of El Royale.
Oh, yes. I'm all over this.
Oh, yeah. I am all over this,
so
too.
So excited.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that seriously looks absolutely badass.
It looks badass.
Although a couple of people were saying it's the directorial debut of Drew Goddard.
Which
is not. Did you not see Cabin in the Woods?
Right.
Yeah, Cabin in the Woods is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the movies coming out this week. We don't have a lot of time left on the show. Okay, the big one coming out this week. I'm going to run through the box office figures. We're looking at Ocean's 8 is going to be the big one. $4 million last night in previews. Look at another $45 million weekend. Hotel Artemis, $271,000 on previews. That's looking at $5 million, and Hereditary $1.3 million on previews, looking at $12 million for the weekend. The top five: Oceans, then it's going to be Solo, then it's going to be Deadpool 2, and then Hereditary and Adrift. Okay, let's very quickly, who's seen Oceans 8?
I have not.
Okay, what did you think?
I thought it was incredibly average and disappointing.
Yeah, okay, we totally agree with that. I thought it was going to be shit. It was better than shit, but it really,
It is Anne Hathaway movie.
Yeah.
That, if Anne Hathaway was not in that movie, there would be no movie.
That signposted like ways. I did not love it. I did not hate it. It was fine. It was entertaining. I don't understand the love that it's getting.
I wish we had a few more minutes to talk about this, but how can you put Cate Blanchett in a movie, do nothing with her?
Yeah.
Someone as strong of an actress as her, and do nothing with her.
Yeah.
Mindy Kaling, who I absolutely adore, every time she's in a movie, completely wasted.
Yeah.
Awkwafina is supposed to be this next big thing. They do nothing with her. Rihanna, like, besides make her a racial stereotype.
Oh my God,
why?
Doing the hacking, man. And, fuck's sake, really?
And this is what I said earlier, is that I want female movies.
Yeah.
I want them to have more and more. And I'm tired of them getting the shit out of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
Here, get a reboot of this movie. No, give them their own original film. Call it something else. And let the women do their freaking job.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I mean, it's fine. It's great. I mean, I was not a massive fan of the Ocean's movies.
Yeah.
But this, to me, I was like, it just, it didn't. It's not as good as it could have been.
Okay, here's another thing. Why is the entire movie so girly? Why is it all based around like fashion and all this stuff? Like, it's so stereotypical. I'm like,
girls love fashion.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's go steal a necklace. It's like, no one's really like analyzing this movie and just seeing how generic it is in every way.
Yeah.
You know, the sad thing is, without having seen the movie, but I'm just being broad here. Sometimes,
hey, when has not seeing a movie ever bothered anybody of having an opinion on
the
film?
Well, that's true. I'm only having an opinion on your generic comment because generic like sells. Like it's crazy that people don't strive for more in their movies. Whether it can be like a Rogue One or certain Star Wars movies. Whenever you do anything different, unexpected, then people get up in arms. Generic for an audience.
No. What I want to say is that why? Okay, so the Ocean franchise has kind of like went its course, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone was a big fan of it, and then
until
like,
Logan Lucky,
right? Exactly,
which is like Ocean 7-Eleven.
Everyone really enjoyed those movies. So I'm not saying why can't they just create the concept or the idea and call it something different and tweak it. And make it different and put this female cast behind it. Why can't they do that? Why does it have to be this branch off of something that's already established?
Yeah.
Why not take the general concept?
Because it's already established.
Well,
there's no reason because that's going to even have more criticism behind it. That's what the problem was with Ghostbusters.
I literally
right?
had that conversation with someone that I saw the film with, Yale, who's actually part of the Popcorn Talk Network, and we were saying, I was like, I would have had more fun with it if it was a case of you take a bunch of women who do a heist movie that's not an Ocean's movie. I just think that the whole connection, it doesn't need that connection. They make references to it, and there are, you know, some surprises along the way. No spoilers.
Right.
But I'm just like, they just could have done a really good female heist movie. Widows, I'm super excited about.
Oh, my God, Widows?
Widows, I'm super excited about.
That looks really good.
Let's move on to Hotel Artemis. That really that's my favorite film of the week. For me,
Hotel Artemis.
Yeah, it manages to be a genre pick that feels so 70s, but it feels so current and also futuristic. To me, I would have liked it to have gone a little bit harder with the action, but it certainly was a very satisfying ride for me.
Did it remind you at all? Without having seen it, but watching the trailers, it reminded me of that Brie Larson movie. What was it called? Firefight.
Yes.
The one when they were in a warehouse.
God, yeah.
And they're
free fire.
Yeah, the Ben Wheatley movie.
Yeah.
It reminded you of that?
No.
Kind of, in essence, but it was more sort of a John Carpenter movie that it had a feel about that.
I love the stylistic choices in that movie. That's what really sold me and Jodie Foster.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see it.
It's really good. Seriously, you should absolutely check this out. And then Hereditary, a movie that people are getting very excited about and saying it's like the scariest movie of all time. Do you know what? That movie is fucked up and it's tense, but I did not feel scared in that movie.
I did not either.
At all.
No.
Anywhere at that point.
No. I felt like it was, it's intense, it's intelligent, and it's like, it's a slow build.
It's a good movie.
Well, it's a good movie. It's a creepy movie.
Right.
And it's awkward.
For a more sophisticated audience, too, I feel.
Yeah, definitely, because the crowd I saw it for, look, when you watch the trailer for that movie, it just screams, it sells horror in the means of like The Exorcist or The Conjuring. And there are elements of The Conjuring there. There's the languid creepiness of the witch, which not surprising. And then you throw in a little bit of Rosemary's Baby, and what I appreciated about it, I didn't like it as much as The Witch. The Witch I love as a movie, but it has that slow burn to it. You have to wait for it. You have to wait for it. For a horror movie, the audience that I saw it with, and I see this at my neighborhood theater is Baldwin Hills.
Okay.
So they're very much into horror movies.
Oh, good.
Back to screen.
Yeah.
But they were getting up and getting popcorn. They were not captured. But the last hour, I will say, delivered the creeps. And usually in a horror movie, it's what you don't see and then see.
Yeah.
As a director, he was not afraid to show you. No, it's right there. It's like, it's unmistakable. There's something over there.
It just,
and it was creepy enough. It just didn't, it wasn't for me as good as, say, The Witch or The Conjuring.
I know people who came out of this movie and they were like, oh my God, I'm not going to sleep tonight. And I'm like, I just think, no, that's bullshit. That's like you're buying into the hype. I mean, it's a very accomplished movie. It looks amazing and they've done some really great things with it. Is it scary? It didn't. I mean, maybe that says more about me than anything else. But
for the aspect of how strong the performances are in a horror movie,
performances,
right? Because
Toni
Collette is amazing in this. They're talking ever since Sundance. They were talking about award campaign for her for this movie, and I think it's a sophisticated horror film. It's more fucked up than anything else. Right. Like there's no real scares. I don't know why people are saying it's scary. I feel that way too.
It had that creepiness.
It's creepy. It has you on edge, but you're not like, oh my God, oh my God. Like Quiet Place, when some stuff happened in that movie, you're like,
There were no jump scares in this movie, and you really do have to wait for it. And I'm not sure. I'll be very curious to see what like the cinema score comes out on this movie because
I think a lot of people are going to go in there and they're going to expect a really like shit your pants horror movie, and that's not what they're getting. It's cinematically, it's beautiful. There are some amazing performances. Yep. It is fucked up, but it is not a scary movie.
But in a sense, that's the way I thought about The Witch, too.
The Witch for me was way more tense and way more like nerve jangling.
But it didn't make me jump, so to speak. And when we got to the end of The Witch, where it has that ending, that's oof. I mean, and The Witch was that slow burn. Like, what's happening here? It was just really creepy, too. And it sort of like, it sets in. This sort of had that effect on me. I can't call it, maybe right now, like you're right, A Quiet Place is a far scarier movie.
Yeah.
It's not the best horror that I've seen this year.
Yeah.
But it was, to your point,
it's more effective and it's more mainstream.
A Quiet Place?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is not mainstream.
No.
This might anger people.
I just want to give a really quick shout out. We don't talk about them that much on this show. I've only been on two episodes, but I do want to recommend Hearts Beat Loud, which is playing in New York and LA this weekend, and then also Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is about Fred Rogers. Both are incredible feel-good films that restore faith in humanity. That's why I'm like wanna. They make you feel good. They make you want to do something and change the world and just enjoy life. So thank you. I just wanted to point those two movies out because I love them so
and
much.
And thank you guys for being on the show today. Dimitri, where can we find you online?
At DMovies1701 on Twitter. Please support me. You can also find me later today on Anatomy of a Movie, where we'll be talking about Upgrade and another what I found to be a very good feel good about yourself and feel good positive movie, RBG, which I really enjoyed.
And both Scott, where can we find you?
So I will be back on Black Hollywood Live this Sunday at 5 p.m. Check it out with Carla Renata and me. It's Black Tomatoes. I can be found on Twitter and Instagram at The Other Scott M. And you can go to weliveentertainment.com to read my interviews and written reviews.
And if you miss any of those shows, of course, you can find them on YouTube and iTunes. Feel free to subscribe, share them, tell your friends, because the more people that watch it means that we can keep doing this shit every Friday. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you, Dimitri. Thank you, Scott, for being on the show today. So much to get through. There literally are not enough hours in the day, and I've got shit to do. You know, this hair is not going to take care of itself, motherfuckers. So thank you so much for watching. Do enjoy. If you like it, subscribe, tell your friends, share it on Twitter. Really appreciate it, and we will see you back here next week because we have nothing else to do. Go watch some movies. What do you do? Why are you still here?
Yeah.
Go watch movies.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principal.